Israel has destroyed part of the Al-Akhli hospital, further crippling a crippled medical infrastructure in Gaza, further worsening the humanitarian crisis. That's a euphemism. That's a genocide. The Israeli regime coyly argues that the hospital housed a quote-unquote Hamas control center, with no evidence, nada evidence, to support this bizarre claim, and claims it had given warning to hospital attendees, a warning of 20 minutes. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. People in hospitals are tied up to drips. They've got pipes in them. They are bedridden. So how on in hell, no apologies for that word, how in the hell do you remove a patient from ICU outside of a hospital in 20 minutes? It's impossible. And my only comment is to swear, which I'm not going to do on family radio, and I'm going to hand over the baton to Professor Ahmed Jazbai, political analyst and member of the Media Review Network, to comment on this latest scenario, quote-unquote. Professor Ahmed Jazbai, assalamu alaikum. The language of this conflict, quote-unquote, at the moment befuddles me sometimes and angers me mostly, couched in euphemisms that are so naked now they've got no clothes on. What do you make of all of this? It's getting beyond the surreal, beyond Kafka, beyond whatever it is.
Shafiq, and it's important to context of what we've been speaking about over the last 18 months of this genocide. Israel, during the early onset of the genocide, I think it was in about 10 days after the genocide had begun, bombed the Al-Ahli Baptist Hospital. And there was a brief outcry, to some respect, a very muted outcry, I must say. And it realized since then, and it's been testing the waters over the last 18 months to see what it can get away with.
Murder.
And it has gotten away with a lot.
Yeah.
And now bombing a hospital, rather, out of service was par for the course. And there's been muted outcry from its allies. The Americans have said nothing. They simply go ahead with the official version that it was a Hamas command and control post. As you rightly said, no evidence was provided, not even in the first incident in October 2023. So this is par for the Zionist genocide. And we condemn it, but we understand that, you know, the world has decided that the Palestinians are so thoroughly dehumanized. And that's another element we must bring in here. When you thoroughly dehumanize a population, these things are allowed to happen.
Indeed.
You know, you talk about two-state illusion from their friends and so on, but it will continue to happen. I mean, there'll be nothing left of Gaza, if there is anything left already, because they've been allowed to go get away with things, because they have thoroughly dehumanized the people. The reference to Amalek, to human animals, and so on, was purposeful, where they've managed to dehumanize it successfully in the eyes of the world. Palestinians are not human, and as a result, we can bomb the hospital, a university, a creche, anything for that matter.
Yeah, I'm going to use the word pornographic here. The attitude of politicians, pornographic. I'm giving it a new sort of concept. But, Professor, what is also interesting is that Israel and the United States don't have much time in this ghastly project, because opinion polls are coming out profoundly that the majority of Jews in the United States of America are against what's happening, and more particularly youthful Jewish people, and I'm using this word expressly the way I am, because that's where the Zionist power emanates, themselves are finding that support for what's going on, and even support for Israel itself is a dwindling commodity. What do you make of that? Because that certainly is, I think, adding in another dimension, is that Israel is no longer relevant to the majority of United States people who are Jewish.
I think that means nothing. I think the majority of Jews, perhaps around the world, were against this genocide to begin with. We must understand where the power dynamics lie. In the United States, it lies with the evangelical Christians, and it lies with the right-wing Zionists. It lies with people like Miriam Adelson, the wife of the late casino magnate Sheldon Adelson, who gave $100 million to Trump's campaign. It lies with another white supremacist, Elon Musk, our fellow countryman, who gave $75 million. And
paltry $25 million.
And part of that money, those things come with strings attached, even when Donald Trump is involved. If you give $100 million to Donald Trump, this comes with strings attached. And part of that is to make sure that the genocide continues, make sure that they make progress in realizing the Greater Israel Project, and that is what we need to focus on, the Greater Israel Project. That's what they want. So we have the South African Jews for Free, a very vocal anti-Zionist group. We have the Netera Karta group of anti-Zionist Jews in the United States, vocal anti-Zionist Jew. But as long as the power dynamics lie with the Zionist Jews, that is when where the problem lies. And that is where, despite outspokenness, and may they be rewarded for that outspokenness, but as long as the power dynamics and lie with Zionist Jews, that's where the problem is going to end. The genocide will continue. Although time is running out, even Donald Trump is getting a bit impatient because this is distracting him from his other escapades, you know, South Africa, and his feud with China, the Trump, the tariffs issue. So Netanyahu also realizes that time is limited when it comes
for him,
to how long, we don't know.
Yeah, before he goes to jail, yes.
Yes, exactly. And this is to distract him from that, because his corruption trial keeps getting postponed because of him having to now restart the genocide and so on, and being involved in as commander-in-chief of the genocide.
Yeah,
there is no goodness on the horizon, because as long as the power lies with Zionist Jews, we're going to have a problem in the world.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to give a slightly different slant to that. Interestingly, I spoke to somebody in Israel last week, and they said that the whole thing has just become about Netanyahu, that he is as a toxic narcissist as Trump, and that even in Israel, people are not happy with the way things are going, because the captives, prisoners, are not being released as fast as people would like them to be. There's another scenario, and that is that I personally see the Zionist project as a dying one. And when a colonial project such as that, and if you look at history, before they die, they do weird things and they become even worse. You know, like when a fish is on your boat after you've caught it, the last flap that the fish gives is the strongest one before it actually dies. And I think this is what we're witnessing now. We're witnessing two major events which are rolling out at the moment. Number one is the final collapse of the American empire, and it's going to be mighty painful for them. And secondly, the collapse of their project, which is the Zionist project, which they only adopted, by the way, with any seriousness in 1967, not 1948, because in 1948 the American newspapers were still calling Zionists terrorists. So there is that scenario, and I don't want to become apocalyptic or what sheikhs are saying about hadith, but to me it does seem, just purely politically, that Zionism in the United States are actually on the brink of self-destruction if they don't change trajectory.
I would agree with you on that, because we've seen, America is a declining empire with declining hegemony. I've made this point on other platforms. Trump has backtracked for 90 days on his tariffs to most countries. The world didn't blink. Trump blinked beforehand. He didn't have that immediate desired effect. Even his own Treasury Department has warned him against the adverse effects of the tariffs on American economy and on inflation in particular. So, he blinked before the rest of the world. And Zionism, yes, is a declining force as well. But as long as it has this support of American empire, as long as it has the support from the Christian Zionists around the world, it will endure for a while to come. Now no one can put a time frame on when Zionism would end and will meet its decline. The Palestinians are valiantly fighting a fight, but we have no guarantees as to how this will turn out. So one respect I agree, but the other respect, Zionism is declining, and this has become all about Netanyahu, to be honest. Internally, there's a lot of rebellion, and the Israelis are one thing you've got to hand it to them, is that they're very unified, for example, when there is a perceived existential threat to their existence, although there's not in this instance. So they disagree privately, but publicly they support the war effort, the genocide effort, which makes them complicit, in my opinion. So we need to take these very dynamics on into consideration. We cannot give any guarantees as to when the American empire will come to an end, or when Zionism, will end as a, the chief, scourge in this world. But they are on a terminal decline. We just don't know when.
Yeah, this final comment, I can remember as a journalist in the late 80s and going into 1990, we never ever thought, as we stood on the Grand Parade on the 2nd of February 1990, that de Klerk was going to announce the freedom of Nelson Mandela and the unbanning of liberation organizations. That was not expected, and it happened, and apartheid ended, legally at least, very quickly. So, yeah, I think what we can say is that anything can happen, but we can't say when.
Exactly.
And on that note, we thank our guest, Professor Ahmed Jazbai, talking to us about more attacks on Gaza. We've had enough of it.